And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to No Dunks, presented by the NBA. That's Game. I'm Lee Ellis in the big chair today, joined by the big bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And of course, you know, Big JD is here making the big magic happen.
Hello!
How are you, JD?
I'm great. How are you?
Just a three-man weave here today. So it's a little bit different. We're in the off-season. We're mixing it up a little bit. And today, we're going to pop open some old packs of cards. Now, I'll start with the bad news, JD. Probably going to need you to participate in this one. So you're going to have to concentrate, okay? You can't just be sitting on Instagram or Twitter for this entire show, okay? Because it's just me and Trey. But look, for anyone who isn't familiar with how this works, I've got a ton of old basketball cards here, like just a ton of old cards covering basically the 90s decade. And these ones I actually got last summer during the sort of lockdown there. You know, I started popping open these packs on Instagram Live and I started getting a few guests. You know, George Karl came on, Xavier McDaniel, Kenny Anson, Daryl Morey, Ariel Helwani. And I started getting confident. So I started buying all these packs of cards off eBay, spending a couple hundred bucks. My wife, she doesn't quite know exactly how much I spent. But I thought I was going to start getting some guys. Like I've got Alonzo Mourning. I've got a T-shirt of Alonzo Mourning from the Miami Heat. So I did have some success as far as getting responses from other players, and then they either just ghosted me or it just didn't happen. So I've got all these packs here, and what I'm going to do, again, I'll let you choose, actually, Trey, which pack you want to open here. I'll give you the list of them. I'll give you some clues, and then you can see if you can identify who the player is. And hopefully you've got a story as well that you can maybe relate to us about it. And JD, if you've got any stories you can relate as well, that would be fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah. All my 90s basketball stories. Let me dig deep for those.
I like imagine that during the entire pandemic, the last year, Roxy is going out to the mail every day, finding a new pack of old basketball cards and a jersey t-shirt. You're like, I don't know. I got to get stockpiled here just in case things go the right way. Yeah. Instead, you're having me on for the first time since April of 2020, mate. I don't know if I still got it around
here. Wow, yeah. I mean, that's a thing. I think I probably turned my back on you guys there, really, because I started with Skeety and Tass and yourself and JD. I had Matty O on, I think, at one point as well. Did I have Matty O? I can't remember in the end. But then once I got a few bites, I was like, I don't need these guys anymore.
Forget about them.
Big fish, yeah. All right, Trey. Well, I've got 91, 92 upper decks here. I've got 94, 95, 96 Fleers. I've got 92, 93 Fleers. I've got a Tops 92, 93 as well. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a upper deck 97, 98. That's definitely right in your wheelhouse right there. And then I've got a Tops 94, 95. And I've also got some Skybox, probably 1990. I think those ones are.
Yep.
And I've got some Hoops here as well from 1991. So
pockets are deep.
That's an embarrassment of riches.
Look at this. You know, seeing those, and I recently went back and looked at the thumbnails. I feel like we've opened a lot of Skybox.
Yeah.
A lot of early upper decks. So that 97-98, I don't think we've done very many of those. Got MJ on the outside of the packaging. I'm ready for that one, Lee.
All right, that's good because, yeah, I think someone sent these ones to me as well. That was the other thing. A few people sent in some. So whoever it was, I forgot, but thank you because it's finally getting some good use today. So, yeah, 97-98 Upper Deck Series 1 basketball card. And they've got game-dated cards to relive the moment. And look for NBA game worn jersey cards.
Oh, that'd be a nice pull. Wow. And look, I'm just looking at this through our streaming platform here. That looks like a sealed pack. I don't think you've preloaded this pack to get the best stories out of here. This one's actually mint condition.
A few people got caught onto that. That look, I wasn't juicing the packs per se. I was just having a few substitutions ready because, look, when you have Ralph Sampson or James Worthy on there, you want to hear the stories. Like, you know, like for example, Ralph Sampson. I pulled a Del Curry card. Ralph Sampson told me Del Curry tried to date one of Ralph Sampson's sisters. I mean, that's the sort of stuff you want to find. Steph Curry might not have existed if that had worked out. So it didn't, but it does. So.
Or he could have been 7 feet tall. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Imagine Steph Curry was 7'2 on top of everything else that he could do. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Good. I've got a great one here because this guy, classic 1990s guy, got a great name. In fact, I'm going to go to JD first on this one because this guy had a very iconic moment in the dunk contest that we reenacted. I think Trey reenacted it in our very first dunk contest there in New Orleans because of what this guy did. He won the dunk contest the year that he did. I believe it was 1992 from the Phoenix Suns, and his name is an alliteration. So he has the same initial for his first name and his last name. Anything there, JD? Anything?
I'm thinking Suns. I'm thinking I know Barkley. I know Steve Nash. I know Sean Marion. But these are... is Sean Marion a
Son? A little bit later.
This guy's
last name, I believe, translates to onion or onions.
Wow, really?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, he almost said it. I know it's Cedric Ceballos.
Cedric Ceballos. Yeah, Cebolla is onion in Spanish. So, JD, anything now? Recognize it now at all?
I recognize the name. I don't remember the dunk. Which dunk was that?
The blindfold dunk.
Okay.
Trey kind of like walked towards it there, found the backboard, and then threw down the dunk. So
here I was thinking that was a Trey Kirby original. My mind is blown.
Yeah, didn't quite blow the minds of the judges, if I'm not mistaken. The walk up and find the rim wasn't quite as impressive as Ceballos doing it from the other side of the court. I think the people have said he can see, though, right? He can at least see down his nose to see where he was taken off from.
I mean, the fact that he was running towards the hoop and got it spot on tells me that it probably wasn't something as blindfolded. All right, one for one, Trey Kirby. And wow, this is a great card here because this guy, I don't think a lot of people remember this guy's first team because he was there, I think, two seasons, but he was much more well known for his second team that he played on. I believe he was a six-time All-Star. And in fact, if you've been watching any Netflix documentaries lately, you'll probably see this guy because he features prominently.
Runner test?
No, but you're in the right area there, JD.
This maybe is a rookie card, I'm thinking here.
I believe it would be a rookie card, yes.
Got a Jermaine O'Neal?
Ooh,
Portland Trailblazers Jermaine O'Neal. Nice one.
Yeah, he was straight out of high school, I believe. Jermaine O'Neal, and became the youngest player in NBA history at the age of 18 years, 1 month, and 22 days when he made his debut there. So, Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, that's a good one. They just had too many good players on the Blazers at that time for him to get some minutes as a... I guess I didn't realize he was the youngest guy in the league at the time, but I mean, like, they would have eventually had, like, Sheed, Scottie Pippen, Arvydas Sabonis, you know, and this guy's, what, 18 years old?
Yep.
Different game back then.
I can't remember if he got traded or just signed as a free agent. They probably traded there to Indiana, but...
Davis, maybe? Maybe was part of the Dale Davis trade?
Yeah.
Could be.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, next one. Good one. This guy, because known as a shot blocker. I think the first thing you think of with this guy is a shot blocker. I think he made an All-Star game, one All-Star game in 2000, I think he was, for the Philadelphia 76ers. I believe he's on that team. Bounced around a few teams, was a Hawk, was a Sixer. He's a Piston right now. I think he ended his career as a Laker.
He's a Piston right now, you said?
Well, he's a Piston in 97-98.
Oh, okay. That, I was going to say, wow. Really
But this guy, if he was on the Cosby Show, had was the cool big brother on the Cosby Show. Remember who that was?
Theo Ratliff.
There you go.
Theo Ratliff. Oh, in the teal uniform.
Yeah.
You thought Theo Huxtable was cool? Interesting.
He was pretty cool, wasn't he?
I guess he was cool.
You know, what was his name in real life? He's not. I'm thinking of Different Strokes. It's not Todd Bridges. It was
That's Willis from Different Strokes. Yeah. I have no idea what it. Well, I suppose I could Google
Malcolm
it.
Jamal Warner.
That's it.
Was that his name? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Good wow. Pull, okay. Theo Ratliff.
You're right. A one-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Two-time golf defensive team. Not bad. Theo Ratliff. Yeah. That was a guy. That was a notable name early in the trade machine days, right? The Theo Ratliff contract. That was a classic.
And in fantasy basketball, again, even in those 2001, 2002 years, he was still hanging around. You could pick him up off the waiver wires. If he played for a week, he could almost win you the blocks category alone. He was just really good at that. I remember a couple of times having him there, but he was always injured. He was always out for like 3 weeks at a time. So it wasn't a long-term investment, but if you could get sneaky and just get him for one of those good weeks, it was really valuable.
Says he led the league in blocks 3 times. I don't know if I would have guessed that.
I'm not totally surprised, I guess, by that. Okay, we've got an interesting card here because it's called Mates.
This is a Shane Heal Luke Longley card or something?
Yeah. It's called Mates, and it's cut out really weird, but it's only one guy. So maybe this guy didn't have any mates, but this guy is a big-time 90s superstar. Because he was huge in the 90s, and then he ended the 90s as being huge for a different reason. A legend, though, yeah.
We saw him on one of these cards earlier, perhaps. Sean Kemp?
Sean Kemp, great
nice.
Pull there.
What a pull, holy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah, this is a weird card.
I wonder if it fits together like a jigsaw, like there's a mate.
Like a team. Probably the other one says team.
Teammates.
Yes.
Now we got to track down the Gary Payton. Surely that's a Gary Payton on the other side of this somehow.
You would think so, yeah.
It's like a best friends forever necklace.
Yeah.
Me and you, what do you think, Lee? You get a Gary Payton, throw it around your neck. I'll have the Sean Kemp. That'd be pretty cool.
And remember the old Sonics poster I used to have, the Buds with Derek McKee and all the Polynes? We got that one there.
From Buds to Mates.
Yeah. In the background here, we've got...
That's a strange one.
Yeah, we got Vinny Del Negro, we got Sean Elliott and Detlef Schrempf on there as well. So, okay, good. Yeah, that's right, JD. I think that is right. You would slot them together and you would have the dynamic duo out of Seattle. Okay, wow. I can't believe this because we've just gotten one of those Buds from the Seattle Supersonics poster, though he's not playing for the Sonics. He's playing for the Sacramento Kings at this point. And he's not the young player out of that Buds poster.
Gotta be Olden Polynes.
Oh, yeah. What a great name. Old Olden Polynes we've got there. There he is.
Oh, look at
his name is Odin or Olden?
Olden.
Like olden times.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Good. Sort of, what I remember him, defensive player, good rebounder, good shot blocker, sort of a high energy guy, a bit like a JYD out there. Not a great sort of score or shoot of the ball, but a hustle player, energy player. That's what I remember about him. And there you go. Olden Polynes.
Yeah, was he ever the Big O? Did they ever call him that? I don't know. I mean, 6'11", his name starts with O. I guess on Basketball Reference, they have him listed as OP as his nickname. Yeah. The Big O was already taken. But Olden Polynes, that's a name you'll never forget.
No.
Until I saw that poster you had, Lee, I wouldn't have thought of him as a Seattle Supersonics bud. He's a king to me.
Yeah.
And I don't remember him being so jacked, to be quite honest. Maybe he's got a little bit of Alonzo Mourning there.
Well, one of the first games I ever saw, it was 89 playoffs, and he came off the bench for the Sonics, and he was just all energy and all hype. So that's why he sort of, and he wore number 23 for the Sonics too. That's why I remember him there. Bounced around a fair bit. Also, didn't know this. Born in Haiti. So I think Samuel D'Alembert is the only other Haitian-born player we've had in the NBA. Maybe there's another one out there, but old Polynice, yeah.
Good one.
Nice, old and nice. Okay, oh, good. We've got a bull here. Who is it? Oh, okay. Okay, this guy. Now, I don't want to give it away too easily, but...
Michael Jordan.
This guy would have been... Matt Austin would have loved to have say this guy's name because his name is a pun for a little club that Matt liked to be in the starter's office there. How does that...
Oh, wow, what a hint. Oh, this is a tough one. A name that Matty O would love to say...
Yeah, because it was
97-98.
Yeah, you were part of a group. The thing is, if I say one more word, it just gives it away too easily. But it was like it became a tradition, a daily thing. If you were having a meeting, say,
Clatch Coffee Clatch.
That's right,
Clatch. Clatch McCluskey. Is that a guy?
You're thinking of the wrong part of the Clatch.
Oh, coffee. Oh. Paul Coffey.
Jason Caffey? Jason Caffey? Oh, man. Wow. What a reach for Coffee Clatch. Incredible.
You could just know if Matt was listening right now and he heard Jason Caffey, he would say, oh, what was his favorite, you know, tradition? The Caffey Clatch, you know? So,
yeah, Jason Caffey, I remember... He was supposed to be like the best dunker on the Bulls. Right. That was the cool thing about him was, you know, just a very athletic, strong guy to come off the bench and just dunk for a while. What? I guess he probably got a couple of championships playing there. He was there 95 through 97, traded during the 98 season here to Golden State.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't really remember him on that third team. Definitely on the 95-96 team. But so he snuck in for a couple there. I think he went to the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. I think he played there, but one of those bench guys who just was in the right place at the right time in the right era to play with Michael and pick up a couple of championships. That's the way you got to do it.
That's exactly right. Just run the court. They'll pass it to you. Throw it down every once in a while.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right. Oh, okay. Now, JD, I'm going to go to you on this one as well.
Okay, all right.
Because this guy was a Toronto Raptor. Trey probably doesn't think of this guy first as a Raptor, but he made an All-Star game as a Toronto Raptor. And he was also in a dunk contest, which is crazy when you think about it, because this guy, you know, good, solid, tough guy, but not a sort of athletic highlight reel dunker.
These basketball hints are going to do me no good. For that time frame, there's no way.
Okay, then. Well, I'll try to... this guy, when he was... he asked to be traded, and he was traded. I think he went to the Chicago Bulls, and then he actually came back to the Raptors. But when he was traded, part of the reason he wanted to be traded was because he didn't like the schooling system in Canada. And he also said, I believe, that he couldn't get ESPN, the proper ESPN.
Oh, well...
In Canada.
Well, that's Chris Bosh, but that's way too late.
Not Chris Bosh. I think this guy was the same sort of thing, though. He was really good for Toronto, actually. Like, he was very well loved. especially when they made the playoffs. He was really good in those series. They won against the New York Knicks and then against the Philadelphia 76ers.
This is not helpful at all. Give me a pun on his name or something.
Well, his name has already... No, it hasn't been mentioned, actually. It was the other
guy.
His
fake brother's name has already been mentioned, if I'm not mistaken here. It's got to be Antonio Davis.
There it is, Antonio Davis.
I got it.
Yeah, Pacers is what I think first, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that was where he was probably at his best. But yeah, he was good. He was very good for Toronto for the couple of years. He got the big contract, too, the 5 years, $60 million after that playoff run in 2001. But then, I think he only lasted like maybe two seasons after a trade, went to the Bulls. He may have gone to the Knicks, and then he actually got traded back to Toronto sort of at the end of his career there. But,
Antonio, you got it. That's the exact pathway for him. I didn't realize that Antonio Davis was in a dunk contest. Probably knew it back when it happened, but that's kind of a tall, not super athlete to be in the dunk contest.
No, I mean, again, I remember him in those Raptors uniforms where he was just like a, you know, a tough guy who had a bit of a low post game, bit of a mid-range jump shot, but never do I remember him doing like even a 360 or a, you know, windmill or a, you know, reverse or anything like that. But,
What didn't he like about the Toronto school system? What was the problem there?
Well, I think it was just, you know, teaching Canadian history and
Upper Canada, Lower Canada.
Yeah.
John Graves, Simcoe.
It was a disappointing end for a guy who, you know, he was a bit, he did definitely become a fan favorite. And then he kind of took a bit of a dump on Canada and Toronto on his way out there. But, you know. Hubie Brown loved him. I remember loved him because he was just a hard-working type of guy. So, you know, Hubie loves that.
Yep, I just did a quick Google here. Here's an article from CBC Sports, May 31st, 2001. The title is Davis Worried About Children's Education in Toronto. Doesn't like that they're learning the metric system.
Fair enough.
No kilometers, no kilograms, no thank you. I also remember Antonio Davis, like... was an early going into the crowd guy. Like he got in a big, he got in a big skirmish playing with the Bulls. Like somebody was harassing his wife in the crowd, and he saw it and like went up in the stands. And that was one of the early. Ooh, we got to figure out a way to not have fans and players be able to interact with each other so closely.
Yeah,
hey,
that's right.
Here's a cool story, bro. Education wise, my son went to preschool with Butch Carter's son. Back in the day, back in when he was in preschool. End of story.
Wait,
hold on,
nice.
Hold on.
Cool story, bro.
He wasn't the kid who used to drive around with the road rage on the little toy trike bikes, did he?
It is very possible that it is because we never got a name. So let's just assign it to Butch's kid, and that will be the legend moving forward.
CJD, this is why Lee's coming to you first all the time. He knew that if he plumbed deep enough, we were going to get a nice '90s basketball story.
You know, JD. You know, I'm going to go to you again because I think you're going to get this guy. Okay, you should get this guy because he's an exceptionally well-known basketball player. We used to see him regularly around the Turner Studios, though he never came on our show, which was like very disappointing because I would actually love to get this guy on Pop and Packs. It would probably be a 3 or 4 hour show because he would just not stop talking at all. But he would be a lot of fun, and he's a great storyteller. In fact, I think Trey was there in the All-Star Weekend, Los Angeles maybe, where he was telling us a great story. He had the whole crowd in that room listening to him talk about how him and his friends in the summer, his friends would lower the rims down so they could dunk and get you know, the feel what it was like to be like an NBA player and dunking on rims.
KG?
KG!
There we go!
Yeah!
Nice one!
He actually talked about lowering the rims for the celebrity game too, if I'm not mistaken, at a different All-Star, right? Like he was saying how that's what they should do is just let the celebrities live out their fantasies, put it on an 8-foot rim and just let them dunk like crazy. And I agree with them 100%. But yeah, it would have been I guess he never did come on the show, did he?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure we asked, but it was just kind of... he just didn't want to do it. And the funny thing was, like, I remember speaking to him a couple of times and he was, totally like easy to talk to. It didn't seem like he was, you know, like he didn't want anything to do with us or anything like that. Like, he was great. There was one time I brought in two friends for a visit, a studio visit, and KG was out the back, you know, in the makeup area there, music playing as always, and he was talking, and there was no one in that room, and he came out and just started talking to my friends as if he knew them, and it was just like, KG, who, like, you haven't introduced yourself or anything, like, you just start talking to people, and I was like, he was great like that. So,
well, to be fair, he needs no introduction. I mean,
yes, that is true.
Good point.
Yeah.
Who is this random guy?
I also do remember, though, in Los Angeles at the All-Star game.
I think
game,
you can put the card down.
Oh, yes, I can. Yeah. We were watching the game, and his wife and two of his daughters, I think, were in the room. And all of a sudden, he was this quiet guy. Like most people, when they're around their wife and their kids, they're like in their shell a little bit more. I was like, wow, I've never seen KG sort of like, you know, go into his shell a bit like this. He's always sort of such a big, loud, you know, almost attention-seeking guy. And now all of a sudden he's just like, no, sorry, guys, I've got the family here, so I'm going to have to tone it down a bit.
The tender side of KG.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, we were having such a good run there. I knew this was coming. Yeah. I knew this was coming. This,
first
this guy,
bad one.
Yeah, this guy.
Go to Trey first on this one.
Yeah. Well, like, this guy's got just a very simple name. Very simple name. Sacramento Kings. I really don't know too much about this guy, to be honest. A big lefty out of Providence. I don't know if that helps you or not at all there, Trey.
Big lefty out of Providence, Rodney Rogers.
No, but sort of probably similar sort of game to him. A big guy. He's just got a very simple name. He's got a very simple first name.
Tim?
No, think of Mike. More. Think of the greatest player of all time, his first name.
Michael?
And then think of, like, I think the 94 first overall pick in the draft, his last name.
Smith?
Michael Smith. There
Michael
you go.
Smith. All right. Yep. That's just a big lefty with a standard name. Michael Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping it was Michael Scott. Then I could do something with JD there. But Michael Smith. Michael Smith. So nothing.
You're not right. Really, we had a good run. That was like our first role player, really.
Yeah. It's good, though, because we've got three cards left. Okay. We've got good. Okay, good. I think we should get these next three here because, definitely this one guy was a guest on our show in Toronto in 2016 at the All-Star weekend when we cycled through probably seven or eight guests, I think, came on during the game there. This guy, we're going to JD for this one as well because he's more a Charlotte Hornets legend, but he did spend time with the Raptors. And he's very, very, very well known, this guy, because of a physical...
Right, Muggsy.
Muggsy, there
nice,
you go, Jay.
Nice.
You're absolutely killing it out here.
Yeah, right.
now, that you went to that Bulls game, didn't you, JD, when the Raptors in 96?
I did, yep.
Muggsy wasn't on the team then, though, was he, I don't think?
I was in the 500 level, hammered. No recollection of anybody other than Michael Jordan being in the building.
And that was the Sky Dome too, wasn't it?
It was the Sky Dome, so that's what I mean. 500 level, very, very, very high up. Did not pay for the tickets. You'd be very proud of me, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Got
mm-hmm.
it from the Molson rep.
Mm. So I guess that was it. It's like, you have to drink our beer. That's the only...
exactly. And they plied me with a lot of beer. But it was a good time. But I was just like, can't see anything. I said I was here. And then I left. It was fine. It was fine.
Perfect experience. Got the story years later.
That's right.
That's all you need. Muggsy, though, Lee, I just looked it up. This was the beginning of his last season as a Charlotte Hornet. He only played two games for the Hornets. And then it looks like he was traded to the Golden State Warriors, apparently to unite with Jason Caffey over there, I guess.
Ooh. Wow. Still incredible to me, though, like a guy 5'3", ended up playing, you know, probably nearly 800 games in the NBA. And, you know, I mean, my wife's 5'2", and I'm like, I can't imagine her out on the court playing against guys who are just gigantic. And he was able to, you know, really make a career out of it. I mean, it is incredible because, you know, like Trey in our world is super tall, but in the NBA world, even you're sort of only, you know, just below mid-size there.
Yep.
So for a guy, you know, a foot shorter than you to go out there and carve out that career is still just unbelievable to me.
How tall is Nate, Rob?
I think he was listed at like 5'9".
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He's strikingly short, though, when you see him in real life with other basketball players. But one of the most incredibly athletic people I've ever seen, we saw him up close at Steve Nash's soccer charity game. And I was just blown away by just how unbelievably athletic that guy was. But still, you know, kind of on the shorter side when it comes to basketball players. Anyways, cool story, bro.
Yeah, but that is the thing I think that's pretty interesting about Muggsy is, like, comparatively, like, compared to Nate Robinson, you don't think of Muggsy Bogues as a super athlete. Like, mm-hmm. I think Nate Robinson had some NFL tryouts. I know he played college football. He obviously won the dunk contest 3 times. Like you're saying, JD, the guy's a super athlete. When we're walking through the crowd with Muggsy, like, after that Toronto All-Star game, everybody is towering over Muggsy Bogues. And I mean, like, you see, even on this card, he's not like a super jacked guy. It was the 80s and 90s. He's still pretty slight. So, yeah, Lee, you nailed it. 889 career games. Super impressive for 5'3" and, you know, normal size almost.
Yeah. Okay, this next one, it's a player card, but it's called Jams 97.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. This guy's not someone I don't automatically think of as a dunker, but I do think of as a classic 90s player. Did make an All-Star game around 94, I guess. First team I think of with him is the Golden State Warriors, but then he did go on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Detroit Pistons, but also was famous because Charles Oakley wanted to fight this guy because he didn't pay up his bets when they were playing cards one day. You know, a big guy, like about 6'9", 6'10", I think he was.
I think this is Tyrone Hill.
Oh, it is.
Wow. There we go. Wow. There we go. Yeah, Tyrone Hill. A guy.
Yes, he's a guy. And I'm just reading the back of this one here. Tyrone Hill doesn't have the dunking reputation of a Michael Jordan, but he can send it down strong over a defender. Hill is at his best on the glass. He is one of the top players in the NBA at hauling in offensive rebounds and springing straight back up for two-handed jams. Oh, it gets even better. The Cavaliers have the luxury of having several players who like to get up off the hardwood to display their leaping ability. One of the best newcomers in the league at high-flying is Bob Sura. Sura first displayed his dunking style at Florida State University. Now Sura dunks on anyone who stands in his way.
What is going on with this card? Why would they even put Tyrone Hill on this? They're like, look, this guy can barely dunk. He's no Michael Jordan, okay? But trust us, he gets offensive rebounds. He'll dunk it there. But if you're really looking for dunks, check out this other guy on his team. Why not just put Bob Sura on there? I guess we need the track record of him dunking in the NBA, so they didn't want to do it yet. But very weird. There's got to be like somebody else who was known for dunks on the Cavaliers at this time.
Oh my God, what a turn of
just
events.
Just instantly negging him. This guy sucks at dunking. He does it sometimes, but there's another guy on his team who's way better. That's a very funny card.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh man, I've got another Jams card.
Oh yeah.
And I saw it. And they don't have their name on the front. So when I saw it, I just thought, oh, I know who this guy is. Another former Turner friend and colleague. But it's actually not him. He's wearing the same number as a guy who was very, very famous for wearing this number on this team. Now, this guy, I think he just made the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Oh.
But it's... But hang on, I'm sort of losing track here because it's actually not that guy. This guy... Oh my God, there's a reference to Michael Smith on the back of this card. Another high riser is 6'8 forward Michael Smith. Anyway, this guy has got a great nickname because he was a Raptor, JD. Okay. I don't know if that helps.
Doesn't.
And he was known... He had the three-word nickname... A really cool nickname, I think. I think this is the sort of nickname you want. And I think
J-Y-D?
He also in a similar vein, like this guy was sort of known as a bit of a tough guy, bit of a, you know, get your nose dirty type of guy, rebounder, defender. I think he also spent time with the Pistons. I think, in fact, he might have even been traded for JYD. Tass would know this guy for sure because, he was a Raptor. What else can I say about this guy?
This guy didn't make the Hall of Fame. This is you thought. Yeah.
This guy,
another guy made the Hall of Fame, could have been this guy.
When I saw this guy's jersey and number, and I thought, oh, okay, that's that guy. But it's not him. It's the guy who must have worn it before this guy came along. Now, this guy, ironically, has the same surname as the number one pick in the NBA draft 2 years ago. Or is it three years ago?
Anthony?
No. He was drafted. He's had two seasons in the NBA, the number one pick.
Williams?
Williamson.
This is Corliss Williamson?
Corliss, big nasty.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Wow.
So
who are you thinking it was?
Who does that look like to you, JD? Anybody?
It's like Reggie through the screen, but...
Look at the jersey and the number there.
I don't know.
Chris Webber. He must have been the one to wear it right before Chris Webber got
That looks like there. Chris Webber? Hold on.
Well, he's number four on the Kings. That's it.
And Chris Webber, you know, is the Kings as a team I think about. That jersey as well, I think, is classic Kings. But the big nasty.
Yeah, next season.
This is amazing that we've got Michael Smith on. A throwback to Michael. Two shout outs to Michael Smith. I mean,
yeah, we should have opened that Jams card first. Then you would have at least had a hint for Michael Smith rather than he's got a standard name. High riser.
Yeah. Not a bad pack overall. Uh-uh. I mean, the big nasty Corliss Williamson, Tyrone Hill, Muggsy Bogues, Big Michael Smith, okay. KG, Hall of Famer.
That's a good one.
Antonio Davis. Loved.
All-star.
Yeah, all-star, that's right. The Caffey Clatch.
Happy to get a bowl at least, yeah.
Another King, Alden Polynice.
Oh, that's a big Kings pack.
Yeah.
Three Kings.
Nice guns on him there. Then the half teammates card there with Sean Kemp.
Mates.
Yeah. Then we've got Theo Ratliff, big time shot blocker.
Yeah.
Big Theo. What else we got? Oh, here, Jermaine O'Neal. Yeah, Blazers Jermaine O'Neal. That's a great card.
Really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we started 1992 slam dunk winner. Was he blindfolded or not? Cedric the Big Onion Ceballos.
The Big Onion.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Not a bad pack, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we slowed down at the end. The insert ones weren't quite what the base cards were, but pretty nice. And nice to see a different looking pack. But it was tough, Lee. But I got to turn the tables on you.
What?
Why I brought my gigantic bag of random basketball cards. And look, there's Ronnie Cycli matching your Heat jersey. This is going to be tougher because you're usually the popper.
Right.
Your guest is the Poppy. Mm. But today, I'm Tsunami Poppy. I'll pull a few of these cards up. Could be anything.
Okay.
I'm seeing some Skybox 92 in here, some 91. I know I pulled some hoops out of here. We'll do a few of these. We'll see what you get.
Okay,
I'll do what I can, Lee, but I'm not going to be much help.
That's
here.
Right. Okay. Okay. Nope, not this guy. Not a fan. Okay. This is a good card. This is a man. He's not known for this team, though. He did win a major award on this team. You hear him on the broadcast from the beginning of season until the very last game of the season. And that's the only hint I want to give you.
Okay. So he won an award for a team that he wasn't really known for.
Right. And this appears to be a 91-92 hoops card.
Okay.
You hear him on broadcasts, and he will broadcast the very last game of the season.
Oh, Mark Jackson.
That's right. Mark Jackson on the Knicks.
Oh,
I think of him certainly as a Pacer first for me, Mark Jackson. But he was Rookie of the Year, right?
He was. That's right. Rookie of the Year in 1988. Yes.
Yeah. Mark Jackson. Nice one.
There's a classic card out there. I'm not sure what brand it is where Mark Jackson's in it. And in the background are those two kids who apparently murdered their parents.
The Menendez brothers?
That's right. Yeah.
They're like sitting courtside behind his rookie card or something. It's
I think they cashed in on their parents' life insurance and splashed out on front row tickets there at Madison Square Garden.
Wow, so that was post-murder.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hit up eBay.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Oh, this is great. This is a great card. This is a 90-91 Skybox, an iconic player from an iconic team in the early 90s. We pulled his card earlier today.
Oh, I'm thinking Charlotte Hornets.
That's right.
Muggsy?
That's right.
Yes.
Another Muggsy Bogues. Or as he's known on the front of this card, Tyrone Bogues. Mm. On the back, you get the little Muggsy in cursive.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to tell our same Muggsy Bogues stories all over again?
Well, listen, what I will say there, in the background of that picture is number 42, which I believe is Mike Jaminski. And Charles Barkley says he was the best teammate he ever played with. Charles Barkley played with Dr. J and Mo Cheeks and Moses Malone, but Mike Jaminski was the best
number one. There we go. Two Muggsies on one screen.
Nice.
That's not bad. Going back into the bag here. Deep in my bag. Okay, this is an Upper Deck card. Looks like a 94-95 Upper Deck card. This is a lefty player who is beloved amongst NBA fans of the 1990s. Skeets, I know, has this jersey that I'm seeing on this card.
Van Exley?
Yeah, that's right,
Van
JD.
Exel,
Nick
yes.
Van Exel.
Van Exel, Van Exel, yeah. Van Exel.
He, lately as well, on Instagram, there's been so many throwbacks to him on those Lakers games days where he would do some incredible passes when he had Shaq and Kobe out there. He was the All-Star in 97 as well, when they had four All-Stars. It was those two, Van Exel and who was the fourth guy?
Eddie Jones.
Okay. Yeah, Eddie Jones, yeah.
You think of him as a Laker, Nick Van Exel?
I mean, that or the Nuggets, anyway. I mean, he kind of left before the Lakers started winning those championships. Definitely. So, unfortunately, if he'd won championships, I think you definitely would associate him there with Lakers. But I remember he was clutch. He hit some, put him in the Caffey clutch because he hit some huge shots for the Nuggets. He was awesome. I used to love him on fantasy basketball teams as well because he'd get the threes, he'd get the points, he'd get the assists. Field goal percentage wasn't always that great, but yeah, he was awesome. I spoke to him in Memphis a couple of years ago for a game, and it was funny because it was like he's a classic 90s guy. I mean, you think about him, you know, Nick the Quick and, you know, those mid-90s Lakers where they weren't so good, but he was just awesome to watch.
Oh, yeah. He was just a star for NBA inside stuff, basically. Oh, it's yeah. Like, you know, the Lakers were still a major deal, even though they weren't at the top of the NBA at the time, but they're still famous. So he's the most famous guy and had some incredible highlights. Next card, Lee. This is it's a tough one, I think. This is a guy known for playing for a lot of different teams. And I would say that this is the team, well, at least according to Basketball Reference, this is the team he played the longest for. Four seasons. This was early in this guy's career. It's going to be tough. He's a Cleveland Cavalier in right. this card. This looks like a 91-92 hoops card. You don't want to, if you've already got greens in your compost, you might want to add this guy.
Brown.
Chucky Brown.
Wow.
Chucky Brown. A couple of fun facts about Chucky Brown. He played for a bunch of teams, like I said, and now looking at the back of this card, I find that his name is Clarence. I didn't know Chucky was short for Clarence. No. And also, born on February 29th.
Wow.
A rare
wow.
leap day, baby. So wow. there you go, Chucky Brown.
I believe Chucky Brown, one season, led the Memphis Grizzlies in scoring. Maybe it's Chucky Atkins who I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's Chucky Atkins, not Chucky Brown. But yeah,
two Chuckies and they both played for quite a few teams.
Yeah, I guess that's it. You got to keep chucking them around, I suppose. I don't know.
Oh, here's our first cards that are stuck together. Break them apart there. I'm not going to give you this one. Here's Calbert Chaney. This is just that bonus okay. Calbert Chaney. That one's for my buddy Grish. Calbert Chaney used to always love going forehead to forehead, just like Grish does. This is a good one here, Lee. This is a weird card. 1994, Upper Deck. From looking at it, you should have 3D glasses to look at this one. One of the greatest dunkers of all time. A local legend for us here in Atlanta as well.
JD, you want to take that one or you want to?
Neek?
That's right.
Gotta be.
Dominique wow. Wilkins.
Yeah.
Look at this. 3D Pro View. This is clearly a 3D card. I don't think I haven't seen the Upper Deck 3D glasses in the bag. Somehow those got lost in the past 27 years.
Oh, damn.
I've given out 3D cards?
Wow. Yeah, I've got some 3D glasses somewhere in the house here, you know, because we bought those books that you put them on and the kids love them. But I don't remember.
Check under the CDs and pencils. Well,
no, because now that my boys are back in school, I really did a good cleanup here in the bedroom. Mm. So I should have kept all that stuff just in case, but I cleaned it all up.
All right, JD, I'm going to come to you for this one. This is a 90-91 Skybox card. The player plays for the Washington Bullets, and I think I'm going to give this hint correctly. I could be wrong. He did the score for Star Wars.
John Williams?
John Williams!
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, I could have gone with the he has a very standard name hint, but we already had that one, so I'm happy that Star Wars composer actually came through. John Williams. Think it's a different guy, though.
Yeah.
John.
He also did Superman, didn't he, JD?
Oh, yeah, he did Superman, he did Jaws, he did Jurassic right. Park. Close Encounters, all the classics. Ooh. Raiders of the Lost Ark, the hits just keep on coming with John Williams. And he's still working.
Really? I mean,
well, I think so.
Sure. I mean, he's a legend, obviously. Who wouldn't want a John Williams score?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Lele, this one's for you. A 90-91 Skybox as well. This guy is an Illinois boy. He is playing for the team I would say he's most closely associated with in this card, the Philadelphia 76ers. Great NBA name. Eventually made his way to the Chicago Bulls towards the end of his career. An off-the-dribble scorer, I would say. He averaged 18.5 points a game in the 89-90 season.
For Philadelphia.
For Philadelphia. He was, you know, prior to Iverson getting there, he was maybe the biggest name on the team in the after Barkley years, I would say. What else can I give you?
It's not Hersey Hawkins.
Oh, it's Hersey Hawkins.
Oh,
yeah, Hersey. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Hersey Hawkins.
Yeah.
Good pulley.
Yeah, well, I remember him, of course, as well, being on the Sonics in the 90s. Oh, the double teapot.
Double teapot. Full double teapot. Hands on the small of the back style there. Excuse me, always called that the Roko Jukic.
Yeah.
He was notorious for standing like that.
Well, funny thing about Hersey Hawkins, speaking of an Illinois boy, is that when I had George Karl on Poppin' Packs, I think we pulled a Hersey Hawkins, and he said he was traded for Kendall Gill, another Illinois boy. They needed Hersey Hawkins. They thought he's just a little bit better of a scorer than Kendall Gill was. It's all linking together with the Illinois boys.
Not bad. Not bad. I love it. Let's do two more cards here.
Okay.
And then we'll call it for the bag.
Okay.
A lot of skybox. This looks like not skybox. Nope. It's a skybox. Oh, this is a good one. This is also a Charlotte Hornet 1991 skybox. I think he may have been the first draft pick in Hornets history. There is an NBA writer who shares a name with this guy, and I think he's actually named after this guy.
Oh.
His parents were big Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, I know who this one is. I don't know if JD, because JD should know the reference.
Some writers. Yeah. Ethan Sherwood Strauss.
No, I think more... There's a connection really to JD and to Skeets and to Trey with this gentleman because they kind of work
together. Yeah, that's right. We were all working together for a website for
Kelly Dwyer?
That's Kelly, right.
That's the writer. Lee's got the name for you.
Trapuka.
Kelly Trapuka.
Oh, I never would have come up with that.
There you go. Tongue out for the free throw.
Yeah, he at the introductory press conference there for the Hornets, he had the big starter jacket, the Hornets, the big boofy hair.
Some big hair.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a real master poof right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kelly Trapuka.
Was he the first Hornets draft pick, Lee? Is that true?
I don't think he was the first draft pick because I think he was in the league before the Hornets started.
Oh, yeah, that could be true. Maybe he was their first.
I can't think of who their first draft pick was in 89. I mean, it wasn't obviously Larry. It wasn't Alonzo. Not sure who it was. But yeah, he was sort of the introductory guy, the sort of...
Sure.
Yeah. Get a guy because he was a 20
in Utah prior to that.
He was a 20 point per game man, and I think that was part of the reason they wanted him in Charlotte was like a guy who can at least score for those first couple of seasons when they're a bit rough.
All right, last card here.
Okay.
Ooh, this is an unusual one, a small school sensation. This is from the 91-92 Skybox set, and here's the classic hint for this guy. One of the best names in the NBA in the early 90s, and eventually he played for a team that almost sounded like his name. He's not on the team at this point right here. He's a Los Angeles Laker. You might know him as a Seattle Supersonic.
Sedale?
Sedale?
Ah,
Yeah. I guess he could have been a teammate of Nick Van Axel. Were they on the squad together with the Lakers?
Well, yeah, Threet was there in like 92-93, and I think Van Axel came along 93-94, so they may have crossed paths.
Yeah.
So Sedale Threet, interesting little story with him, is he lives in Melbourne apparently now, and when my son was in hospital a couple of years ago, the nurse was Sedale Threet's daughter. Because we were talking, I don't know how we got talking about basketball, it was when the Raptors were playing the Bucks. She said, "Are you a basketball fan?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Do you know anything about, you know, old players?" And I'm like, "Oh, a little bit." She goes, "Have you ever heard of Sedale Threet?" And I'm like, "Of course, yeah, former Sonic, former Laker." And she goes, "Oh, that's my dad." And I'm like,
wow,
yeah. And apparently someone in Sedale Threet heard it, and apparently he got in contact because he was on one of the Poppin' Packs like this, and someone put him in touch. And so I should try to get Sedale Threet on. I'm sure he'd come on for Poppin' Packs because... he's familiar with it at least. So
sure.
There's a connection there. And if he's in Melbourne, then maybe someone who's listening knows him and can put us in touch and we'll get Sadale Threed on.
That would be excellent. Not a bad pull from the random bag of cards. We got Sadale Threed, the small school sensation. Kelly Trepuka, 9091 Skybox, also 9091 Skybox here for Hersey Hawkins. Legendary composer John Williams. We got a Hall of Famer, a 3D Hall of Famer in Dominique Wilkins, wearing the Hawks jerseys that people don't really talk about that much. No. You hear a lot about almost every other Hawks jersey except for these ones. Got another Muggsy Bogues. Got Mark Jackson with the Knicks. We got Chucky Brown with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Nick Van Exel. A nice batch of 90s players for you right there.
That was fun. It's always fun going down memory lane there and taking JD along for the ride. You actually did pretty well, JD. You probably not surprised bad. Yourself there, did you?
Not bad. I wish there was a pack of like film composers. I could probably kill that one, you know. But thank you for the John Williams hint. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going to have to go deep on eBay, seeing if they have a composer's set of cards. You know, like, they'll have, like, Yo MTV Raps. I know they did, like, a Desert Storm set years and years ago. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we find some composer's cards. But that does it for another classic episode of Poppin' Packs. And we're thrilled to have everybody here along for the ride. Get your No Dunks merch at NoDunks.com or BreakingT.com/NoDunks. You can subscribe to The Athletic at TheAthletic.com/NoDunks to get No Dunks and all the other shows on The Athletic Podcast Network totally ad-free, not to mention the best sports writing in the game. Follow No Dunks on all the social media platforms you can imagine at No Dunks Inc. That's INC. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Help us bring down Al G Rhythm. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
We're back soon with another classic. Keep it popping, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.